Good morning. I'm Mark Reilly here on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and you're listening to Morning Sedition. Welcome to the Black Side. This is Morning Sedition. My name is Mark Reilly, and we're here with you until 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And Mark Maron is out. He'll be back next week. Our special guest co-host is none other than News Daddy himself, Mr. Wayne Gilman.
Gee, Mr. Reilly, I was really taken back by that introduction, you know, just a moment ago as you opened the show without moving your mouth.
Hey, you like that, don't you? Whoops. I'm just getting used to this 360 we got over here. Uh-huh. How you doing, man?
I guess all right. This has been like, I was thinking about, we hadn't done a show like this in well over a year.
That's right.
I mean, prior to the advent of Air America coming to our flagship station, WLIB.
That's right.
You know, this was a daily occurrence with us.
A daily occurrence. Now, let me let our audience across America know that Wayne Gilman and I have worked together for 30 years. Ever since the public sector rejected us, he as a cab driver, me as a postal clerk.
Yeah, that's true.
We won't get into why they rejected both of us, although let us say, for this discussion, we just weren't that good at our job.
No. You speak for yourself. You know,
I used to get tips.
No. We're not going there.
That was
my last day. Actually, I got into radio that day.
You got into radio that day? Okay. Well, we'll leave that alone for now. Long story, a long time ago.
Thank you.
But you know, folks, if you're waking up this morning and you're wondering, you're cleaning that sleep out your eyes, you're saying, "Wait, what in the world is going on?"
Yeah.
Well, first of all, there are two blacks hosting Morning Sedition. That's
a rare occasion.
It doesn't have to be a rare occasion.
We have to give a special commendation to our liberal network for allowing this to happen. Hopefully, this will happen again.
Oh, wait a minute. They don't even know it's happening.
Oh, they don't.
No. Nobody told the suits that there were two black guys doing the show this morning. But if you're waking up and you want to know what's going on, first of all, George W. Bush woke up this morning and said, "Who stole my poll numbers?" He's in deep trouble.
Deep trouble.
All the way across. Mm-hmm. There's a major U.S. combat operation going on in Iraq, and at the same time, there is now a congressional coalition to say, stop the madness, get the troops out now.
But you know what gets to me, Mark? I was just reading last night on the internet that members of Congress are coming together now to put together, I think, $45 million to see this thing through next year.
$45 million?
Giving to the Bush administration, even though the Bush administration...
That's not even body armor for the war in Iraq.
I know, they haven't even asked for the money yet, but they're already making plans that this war will continue well into next year.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they have no choice but to think the war is going to continue, unless this out-of-Iraq coalition gets some traction and they really start moving the troops out. This war could go on throughout the rest of George W. Bush's term and beyond.
Yeah.
And his approval ratings will drop like a stone. Now, Wayne, we've seen another incredible phenomenon this week, all week long. The Downing Street memo, which has been public knowledge for better than a month and a half, suddenly has gotten national attention. And, of course, yesterday, in a room that was probably even smaller than this studio, Congressman John Conyers, a man we know to be fearless because we got history with the man.
This is true.
Going back many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he held this little forum. I don't know whether it was a forum, a hearing. Depends on which media you read. But he brought together some people to discuss this Downing Street memo. Later on this morning, we're going to get into the Downing Street memo so people understand exactly what it is.
Right. It's just frightening to think that this situation is now making news. I mean, there's been speculation all along. If you have been watching the sequence of events that occurred after 9/11, the way this Bush administration had been handling things, he was talking about war ever since the time he had mentioned publicly that he was offended that Saddam Hussein was going after his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that happened way, that comment was made way back in 2002.
Well,
evidence was there. You know, I mean, and the thing is that, you know, Bush, I guess in his own inimitable style, has a way of just dropping hints about what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And without even having to consult his cabinet and things like that. And I think this is basically what this Downing Street memo is all about. They had a frank discussion with Great Britain and Tony Blair and his crew.
Yeah.
And they figured, well, you know, we're going to put this war together. We're going to steamroll it through the United Nations, regardless of what they may think and say.
Yeah. We don't care what anybody thinks.
And it's amazing because here it is now. He yesterday, alongside with Ms. Rice, the Ice Queen, I affectionately refer to.
Do you have some personal history with her?
I don't know. You know what it is?
What?
Do you have a date? No, you know, she's not my type.
You called her an ice queen. I think you must know something about her. There's something
very frigid about her. You know, she doesn't seem to exude any warmth. At least Madeleine Albright, it's not even a black thing, Mark. You know, I mean, the thing.
Wow, wait, hold up.
Madeleine Albright had some warmth.
She cracked a smile. Oh, okay.
This woman doesn't crack a smile.
You study our secretaries to stay pretty closely, don't you?
Yeah, hey, listen. What are you trying to say?
What do you have to say about Kissinger?
What did you say about his hair?
He was Secretary of State.
Yeah, I know, but that's a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
The deal is, I was just starting out when Kissinger was getting involved in this whole.
Well, go ahead, talk some more about the ice queen.
But you know, the thing is that she stood up yesterday with Bush talking about not wanting to support the United Nations with any additional funding until they correct their act. But no one in the administration is ever looking at all the ills that they've heaped upon this American society right now.
Well, look here. They need if the American people want to find out what hucksters this administration is, they need only go to thedowningstreetmemo.com. That's one word, thedowningstreetmemo.com. Read the document, all right? No one has disputed the authenticity. Nobody said, well, somebody in Blair's office must have doctored this. This isn't what actually happened. Nobody said that.
No.
The fact of the matter is they contrived the entire thing. They lied to the American people, and now some people are starting to use the I word.
Yeah, but, you know, the flip side is with the I word, who do we get? Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
Frightening thought.
Oh, okay, it's not the Downing Street Memo. It is Downing Street Memo.
Yeah.
DowningStreetMemo.com? Okay, DowningStreetMemo.com. You don't need to put the V in front
of it. Not like the Bronx.
No, that's what you just said. See, now we're going to get into where you live. Is that the general idea?
No. I happen to like the Bronx. I want to give a special shout out to one of our colleagues here, Al Franken, who took time out, you know, because he does a political show here on a daily basis.
Yeah.
To give acknowledgement to what George Steinbrenner did for the South Bronx.
George who?
Steinbrenner.
Who?
Owner of the Yankees.
Who?
Owner of the
what
Yankees.
What he did for the Bronx?
Yeah.
Well, by doing what?
He is about to put $800 million of his own personal money.
Yeah.
To construct
and
a
how
brand
much
new
public
stadium.
Money?
Well, there'd be some, you know.
And by the way, that $800 million of his personal money, that's actually bonds, which technically means it's an indirect subsidy. But we'll get into that later on, because later this morning we're going to be talking to Tom Robbins. You know about Tom Robbins. America may not know about Tom Robbins.
Okay.
Tom Robbins is a reporter for the Village Voice, a weekly here in New York.
An investigative reporter,
where if he's on your case and you're crooked, you might as well confess and throw yourself on the mercy of the court, because Tom is not going to stop until you're behind bars. Right? So he's got the skivvy on the West Side Stadium that did not happen.
Yeah.
And now we've got, you know, stadium proposals growing like ragweed here in New York. So we'll get into that a little bit later on this morning as well. But, you know, when you talk about the duplicity of the Bush administration, nothing is better evidence of that than this whole big tobacco thing. You know, the whole idea that, hey, wait a minute, was there $130 billion suddenly became $10 billion.
Right.
Well, we're getting some more details about exactly how and why all that took place. And there seems to have been a little bit of, how best to put this, internecine warfare between the Justice Department and some of the lawyers that were working on this trial. We're going to get into that because it is something that is, for me, crucial for people to understand the lengths to which people will go to doctor stuff up to take care of their friends.
Well, it amazes me, but it all points to money, you know?
I mean, that's the bottom line.
You know, the fact of the matter is that this particular industry has coughed up a great deal to see our current president stay president.
All right, well, hold that thought.
Okay, all right.
We're going to take a quick break. We're
going to
come back.
It's time to break already?
It's time to break already, man. Time flies here on Morning Edition, especially if you're black. We're going to talk about big tobacco next here on Air America Radio.
MorningSedition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your blog. MorningSedition.com. Air America Radio.
Help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Paid for by Operation Truth, Incorporated.
Embryonic stem cell research. Is it right? Here's a message from the Speck is the Life Ministries and the Reverend Messersmith.
We've all heard the godless liberals who say it's okay to chop up stem cells and use them for research. But stem cells are living things. And if you don't believe me, I have one right here. Isn't that right, Sammy the Stem Cell?
Whatever you say, numbnuts!
Sammy, won't it be great to develop into a human being made in the image of God?
Okay, first, humans? Humans can kiss my microscopic ass! And second, screw God! You know what I mean? I'm God! Maybe humans are the virus! Did you see the Matrix?
But Sammy, don't you want to be a little baby?
A baby? Sure! Only if I get to breastfeed. I mean, big milky ones. Wow! Reverend, you and I think alike, you dirty butt slurp. No, I don't want to be some whining, helpless little poop machine. Abort me now! Hack me up and suck me out with a vacuum! That's what Sammy says!
But don't you think it's cruel to do research on stem cells, Sammy? It's murder.
That's not murder. I'll show you murder! Hey, Tommy Stem Cell, come over here!
What's up, Sammy? Hey, what was it? Was that a knife?
Eat steel, you greasy zygote! Look, Reverend, I'm killing the cure for cancer!
Stop it! Stop, I say, you horrible little thing! You're horrific!
You're welcome, ass munch! You better hightail it out of here unless you want a piece of what Tommy got! Now I'm gonna eat him!
On second thought, listen to what Sammy says when he says, humans, f*** humans. Humans suck.
Yeah!
All right, Sammy Stem Cell, step over here, homie! There, we'll spray him. That'll take care of him. This is Morning Sedition. My name is Mark Riley. Wayne Gilman is here with us in studio. And coming up, those of you who have not had the opportunity to hear Wayne Gilman's dulcet tones will have a chance to hear his alternate persona, News Daddy, because we've got another edition of the Morning Sedition Radio Theater coming up soon. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Mr. Riley.
Are you behaving yourself?
I've been behaving myself since you met me 30 years ago.
I know. You want to go to a blast from the past?
Yeah.
Here we go. Watu Wazuri, use Afro Sheen.
Sorry.
Anyway, that's old school stuff. You remember the day?
Mr. Riley.
You used to have an Afro,
no,
man. Don't play.
Yeah, we did.
Yesterday
I was hearing you engaged in discussion with Peggy Lipton, and you were talking about the length of Clarence Williams' hair.
Yeah.
You know?
Your hair used to be almost as long.
If not longer.
That's right. Know? Now, Mark Maron is away. Don't think that Wayne Gilman has got a permanent Velcroed seat up in here.
Right.
But he does do our news for us. That's for sure. Our special guest host, Wayne Gilman. I'm going to be on Connected Coast to Coast tonight on MSNBC.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, everybody's going to MSNBC.
Well, I'm just doing a little guest spot. That's
okay.
All. This is at noon Eastern time today. I'm also going to be on the road to City Hall on New York 1. One of my favorite things to do.
It's amazing you get a lot of FaceTime, Riley.
What do you mean? That's amazing. I got a FaceTime for radio.
You look like,
you you've got some nerve. I'm
just amazed that you would even, consider going on these television.
Look at here, George Jetson. Let me tell you something.
Listen, I got you, George Jetson.
Now, listen, we're also going to be broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn. Now, Wayne, Park Slope.
Right.
Now, you weren't born in this country, but otherwise, you are a Brooklynite.
For the most part.
Yeah, you live in the Bronx now, but at one time, you were a denizen of the borough.
That's true, yeah.
Well, next Friday, June 24th, we're going to be broadcasting live, and they're going to have tons of giveaways. We're going to be joined by DMC.
Is that right?
Legendary rapper Run DMC fame and New York City Council Speaker Gifford Miller. Go to morningsedition.com for details. Mark Maron is going to be performing live at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, Saturday, June 25th. Go to bananascomedyclub.com for ticket information. And we want to remind folks as well that we are raising money to send inner-city kids to summer camp. You can change the life of a kid in the South Bronx where Wayne Gilman lives. $35 sponsors the morning hike for 15 kids. $75 sponsors an afternoon of camp activities for 30 kids, and $350 pocket change to Wayne Gilman sponsors 1 week at camp for a child.
I hate to interrupt, but you guys are giving the South Bronx a bad name. I mean, we've already had...
I'm giving the South Bronx...
I mean, the way you read that spot, Mark, it's like you make it sound like, it's like hell.
Well, we try to give young people...
the Bronx is coming back.
I know it's coming back.
All right.
But you go out by Hunts Point, man. What do you do?
What do you mean, what do?
You inhale fine particulates all day.
Fish market right now.
Yeah.
Years ago, it used to be.
What about all that solid waste management they got over there?
That's on the other side of the river now.
No, it's in the Bronx. But at any rate, $350 sponsors a full week at Camp for a Child. Go to morningsedition.com. Click on the Camp Air America icon for details.
Okay.
Now we're going to talk about the strange case of one Robert McCallum, Associate Attorney General, and apparently prize fixer for the Bush administration. This is the guy, Wayne, who was behind dropping that $130 billion lawsuit against Big Tobacco down to $10 billion.
It's amazing. I mean, the thing is, they had these attorneys, corporate attorneys, working for months.
Yeah.
You know,
not months, 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're right.
Five years of work.
A long time.
Down to two.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's this decision made to just drop the lawsuit.
Well, you know.
And the deal is that you can't help but think the White House has its fingerprints all over this.
Well, you might
think. And what was a big telltale sign yesterday was a piece in the New York Times, buried in the column, that McCallum and George W. Bush
are old pals.
Yeah, yeah, you know, they're cut buddies.
They were Skull and Bones members at Yale.
Like you and I.
Oh, you were Skull and Bones too?
No.
You went to Yale? Because I sure
did. No, I didn't either.
Well, this guy was also partners at an Atlanta law firm called Austin and Byrd that did legal work for guess who? R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. Part of now, see, they take the tobacco out of everything now. It's now Reynolds America.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't sell cigarettes no more, right?
It's politically sensitive saying it that way.
Well, shouldn't it be politically sensitive for these people to job this lawsuit like this?
Mm-hmm.
5 years of work by a group of diligent attorneys,
but
and it all goes down to two.
The problem
is,
it just gives the tobacco industry a free pass.
They can go
ahead, and this is precedent setting. You know, I don't know what it's going to take to alter it, but it stinks.
Yeah, it
That's
stinks.
The problem.
And somebody, you know, it really does need a congressional investigation.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, you don't get a lot of
taxpayer money spent.
I know, but you don't get any traction out of demanding investigations. That's what John Conyers did with the Downing Street memo. Put 500,000 signatures. The White House didn't even want to take them at first.
I know.
Ridiculous. You know, we've got something coming up that will let people know exactly who Wayne Gilman is. It's Morning Sedition Radio Theater. Next, here on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
On my own radio show on Air America Radio. Been on the air more than a year now, and if you haven't heard it, our next show would be a great introduction.
And now, the Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company players bring you their production of Mark Maron and the Temple of Doom.
In his last adventure, Private Eye Mark Maron and his stereotypical lesbian assistant, Grace, narrowly escaped capture by angry evangelicals after trying to pass themselves off as members of the faithful. When who should come to the rescue? Mark's Christian ally, News Daddy.
News Daddy, what are you doing here?
I was just in a 40-city love tour with the Reverend Al Sharpton here.
Good afternoon to you today. Whoa! Who are all those people?
That's my holy posse. They travel with me everywhere.
How did you manage to fit them all in the van?
God owes the Reverend a solid, so he bent the laws of physics.
Mark, I hear you're looking for the Antichrist. God has also instructed News Daddy and me to seek out this instrument of the apocalypse.
Really? Did he also appear to you in the form of Johnny Carson?
No, he was off that week. We got a substitute God. I think it was Burt Convent.
Hi-o!
But you must have been straight up tripping, Mark, trying to fool those evangelicals. Now they know you're sniffing out their territory, and they're sure to send out a goon to pop a cap in your ass. Pardon my language, Reverend.
No problem.
Does your posse ever stop doing that?
No.
All I'm saying, Mark, is to watch your back. Be careful about anybody trying to lay a trap for you.
Got it. Oh, hang on. It's my cell phone. Hello?
Mr. Maron, my name is Federico. If you want to find the Antichrist, go to the back entrance of 174 and a half Q Street. Come through the alley. Arrive at midnight. tell no one where you are going.
Hey, thanks. Well, Grace and I gotta go. I just got a tip on the Antichrist.
Marky, have you heard a thing I've said? This sounds like just the kind of jive trap I was talking about.
No, nothing like that. Some guy I've never met named Frederico just says the Antichrist is in the back of some building in a strange part of town at midnight.
You're an idiot.
Well, see you guys. I got a really good feeling about this.
10 minutes after midnight, Grace and I were tied to chairs in the back of the building on Q Street.
Boy, I didn't see this coming.
Good afternoon, Mr. Marin. Glad you and your homosexual lady friend could join my party.
Wait a minute. You look familiar. Haven't I seen crudely drawn caricatures of you in the Air America radio studios?
Probably. I'm anti-abortion leader Randall Terry, founder of Operation Rescue. We defend life in all its precious forms, no matter how small or how young. All life is precious. Now I'm going to blow you up.
Pardon?
Don't you recognize this building? It's a Planned Parenthood office. I tricked you into coming in through the back door so you wouldn't recognize where you've dragged all your girlfriends for abortions.
Actually, I don't think I've ever been party to an abortion.
Well, surely your lesbo friend can recognize a baby slaughterhouse.
My lifestyle has kind of kept me out of the loop on this one.
No matter. All life is precious. So I planted a time bomb in this examination table. On your way to hell, give my regards to all those babies you killed.
But I never did any...
Ta-ta!
Can Mark and Grace get out in time? Will Mark go to hell, or has he been there all this time anyway? And even though Mark never visited that Planned Parenthood office for an abortion, will he remember that he went there once to ask if he could use a condom 3 years after the expiration date? Find out next week when we hear Mark say...
I wonder when Federico is showing up.
That's next week on Mark Maron and the Temple of Doom. And stay tuned later for the Morning Sedition Radio Theater Company Players presentation of Mark Maron's Home Shopping Channel.
We know our listeners want souvenir items from the show, so we're selling a beautiful 24-inch color TV set straight from Dan Pashman's apartment. Only $12.95, or make me your best offer. All right, this next item is an iPod with a selection of Wayne Gilman's favorite songs. Call now and you'll get a free...
Hey, Mark, have you seen my iPod?
No.
Oh, okay. Stuff keeps disappearing on me.
Okay, next item. We're selling this beautiful Emmy Award inscribed to our writer, Kent Jones.
Marin, you son of a bitch. Give me back my Emmy. Now.
That's coming up later on Morning Sedition Radio Theater.
38 past the hour. This is Morning Sedition. Mark Maron is out on the West Coast. I know he's out taking a couple of days off.
Is that where he is?
Off some well-deserved days.
He must have quite a package.
Yeah, he has quite a package out there in L.A. Now, you know, there have been 3 earthquakes in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
since last Sunday.
And a tsunami watch.
Yeah, the latest one rumbled through Southern California yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Maron, of course, is running into a burning building, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, the thing is, I hope he's safe. You know,
he's safe.
I just want to, you know, thank him for the opportunity. I don't do comedy, folks, you know. But ask me if
so
I can.
So you say.
Ask me if I can. No. But the bottom line is that it's an honor and a pleasure to be here filling in for Mark.
That's right. Wayne Gilman is here with us. News Daddy
himself.
Exactly.
So, you know, we are looking at these poll numbers.
Mm-hmm.
The poll numbers, I think, should be scaring George W. Bush. Now, he swears he doesn't look at him.
He is walking on water. He, you know, the thing is, you see him on news clips, and he's acting like he's blithely unaware of what is going on around him. And I think that's his M.O. I think he figures if he plays this game long and strong enough that the American people will probably change their thinking about him.
Why?
You know, or waiting for another crisis to happen if they don't create one.
Well,
you know,
see, that's the problem. What's going to happen if they do create one?
Well, I mean, we're in deep doo-doo, forgive the expression now.
Doo-doo?
You know, yeah. That's
doo-doo?
From the Bronx. That's
well,
from
yeah,
the Bronx.
From old school Bronx.
You know, exactly. You know, I just want to familiarize some of our audience with the culture of the Bronx.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
The problem is that we have a lot of problems, you know, and on every front, the economy, healthcare, labor, you know, I tell this story from time to time on our sister station where we're on, that the deal is that I know people with law degrees who are making minimum wage because
what?
Things are so hard. out here.
Are they bad lawyers?
No. It's not. You just can't find work.
Really?
You know, it's not bad.
No clients?
I have people who are well qualified.
Okay.
You know, for certain jobs, and they, you know, and I don't want to think it's all ethnic. I mean, it's across the board.
Really?
You know,
so all racial groups.
Yeah. You know, okay. I mean, it's just sad what's going on out here, and he would have you think that they're creating jobs.
Well,
you know?
Look, you look at his approval rating right now, according to this New York Times CBS News poll, 42% approve of the job he's doing. That's down from 51% just after last November's election. Congress has the dubious distinction of doing even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Congress only has a 33% approval rating. And, of course, Congress is dominated by who?
The
same party as our president, the Republican Party. Now, only 25%. Of the people surveyed here, this is about 1,100 people with an error margin of about 3%,
mm-hmm.
3 percentage points, I should say. 25% approve of the president's handling of Social Security. Do you think that might be one reason why there are now published reports that are saying rank-and-file House Republicans are saying his Social Security thing is dead for the year?
Well, I don't know how much more convincing they need. I mean, they have been following this guy. First of all, he launched the 60-city, 60-day campaign,
mm-hmm.
which has gone on to about 120 days now.
Yeah.
And the deal is that every time you turn around, he's in front of an audience that basically he picks himself,
yeah.
you know. And the deal is he's trying to promote an agenda that just doesn't seem to resonate with the average American. No one is buying into this whole privatization of their accounts.
Yeah.
And the deal is that there's been so much study, so many studies done on this that shows that it will not work. That,
yeah.
you know, you
but
try to put to why he, you know, he continues this.
He is plowing forward in the face of this report, which is into the Washington Times, right? Now, the Washington Times quotes Representative Ralph Regula of Ohio, the Republican congressman,
mm-hmm.
says, will Social Security happen this year? I wouldn't bet my farm on it. People are a little nervous. Now, this is part of the Republican base that has to get that job done for the president.
Right.
Now, he's plowing ahead saying that he will campaign for people who back the effort to change Social Security. The problem is, I'm not sure they actually want him on the stump.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing, because a lot of them are looking to next year because they're up for re-election, and they hear what their constituents are saying. And if you parade around with him, I hate to use the analogy of how Clinton was outcasted during the time when Al Gore was running for president because of Monica Lewinsky,
mm-hmm.
is that kind of damaged goods situation that we're dealing with.
Well, here's the scary part of the poll numbers if you're George W. Bush. 45% of the people surveyed, almost half, say the more they hear about Social Security, Bush style, the less they like it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the more he talks, the more he goes out on these tours, the more he says he's going to campaign for people who back him up on this, the less the American people are Velcroing to this particular plan. It looks like the privatization scheme is off the table no matter what else
it's
happens.
It's dead in the water. Iraq is dead in the water. I mean, it's going to take a monumental, you know, overhaul at this point to get the president's ship righted. You know, I just don't see it going back on course.
Well, I mean,
you know?
if you were one of those guys that was advising the president, if you were Karl Rove, in other words, if you were not black and maybe didn't have kinky hair,
yeah.
what would you tell the president about what he needs to do?
Resign.
Resign. Whoa. Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Advisor.
No, I mean, the deal is that, you know, I think they should just basically give up this whole effort to change Social Security.
Give it up?
Yeah.
What about Iraq?
Iraq, you know, I mean, his handwriting's on the wall. There, you know, the insurgency has an exit plan.
Yeah.
We don't.
Well,
all
yeah,
right?
the insurgency has a plan,
you know,
all right. They plan on winning.
Exactly. And from all indications, it seems like they hold the upper hand.
Well, all right, but see, now, given what what's in the insurgents' game plan, shouldn't America stay?
And this is what the Bush administration is talking about now. They're blowing off all this talk about leaving now because they don't want to give the perception that they're cutting and running.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no program. There is nothing. There's no agenda. It's been very apparent. They are up to their necks now in trying to combat the insurgency.
Oh,
you know, they give the impression that things are getting better. But from all of you, Mark, you hear every day.
Mike?
You know?
Mike?
Yeah, Mike.
As long as
you
know you, you mispronounce my name.
I need more coffee.
I expect that out of Chris LaPrasso, maybe.
I need more coffee, you know?
You need more coffee.
Yeah, you know, but the bottom line is, Mark, you know, the deal is that they have given so much misinformation about what's going on over there. one would think that, you know, they've won the war already. And it's not. All in all reports that you see, people on the scene, congressional figures have gone, you know, to see what goes on, you know, up front and personal.
Yeah.
And they all come back with the same story.
Well, we're going to talk some more about that, because later this morning we're going to be talking to Congressman Charles Rangel, who is part of a coalition that says, get out now. But, you know, we've got this Wi-Fi translator up in here. Marin usually is the only one that knows how to use it. We're going to try and get it cranked up this morning so that people get their iNews. And then we're going to talk a little bit about a subject that is near and dear to your heart, Wayne Gilman.
Is that right? What could that be?
Real estate!
Oh, okay.
Coming up next is 46 minutes past the hour, Air America Radio.
Hi, this is Terry Jones from Monkey Python, and you're listening to Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. They're not the Messiah, they're very naughty boys on Air America Radio.
Wait for 30 days. Call now. 1-800-900-2657. That's 1-800-900-2657.
Good morning! 51 past the hour. This is Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Riley. Mark Maron is out. He'll be back next week. Our special guest co-host is none other than News Daddy himself.
Wayne Gilman.
Oh, you didn't say I'm Wayne Gilman.
Well, am I supposed to say I'm?
Of course you're supposed to say I'm Wayne Gilman.
You asked who I was. And actually, who was it? Doug Krieger who said that I should always use my first name as I'm.
I'm, yeah.
Right. You know.
That's your middle name, Wayne.
And speaking of Krieger, it's Friday.
Greedy
you know,
gut.
And listen, I hear everyone else does it. You know, I'll blame it on the white folks. Because,
wait a minute.
The deal
man.
Is
this ain't BET, pal.
I'm guest this morning.
Okay.
And I have a right to ask.
You have a right to ask. Because you're black. That's
yeah,
right.
That's it. You know, underprivileged, living in the Bronx. What can I tell you?
Oh, wow. You got asthma? Just checking. Anyway, you know what time it is this morning?
What time is it?
It is time to find out the news.
Okay.
And to help us do that is a man by the name of Ken Jones.
My main man.
My main man. Ken Jones, by the way, is a drum corps fan.
Is
so he's always near and dear to my heart. Good morning, Ken.
Morning, guys. Good to see you here. Sometimes when you read the headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So, luckily, Mark Maron has allowed me to use the iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's crank it up and feed it some headlines.
Yes.
From the New York Times, Bush's support on major issues tumbles in poll. Okay, Bush's support on major issues tumbles in poll. Translation, tense White House quietly prays for new terrorist attack. Ow, from the Associated Press, legal woes may shut down Kansas schools. Legal woes may shut down Kansas schools. And the translation, Kansas kids may have to learn creationism, other myths at home. From CNN, boy, 14, steals Cessna airplane for joyride. Okay, boy, 14, steals Cessna airplane for joyride. Translation, desperate Air Force recruiters descend on plucky adolescent.
Nice work, Ken Jones.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I have a greater understanding now.
You have a greater understanding.
I really do. Yeah.
Well, we're glad you have a greater understanding.
I need to.
Now, one thing that you do have an understanding of, and something that you have long proselytized about during our 30-year association and friendship, is the value of owning real estate.
Yeah, because man cannot live by news alone.
And they're not making any more of the land.
This is true.
Now, you have become, in your own way, a real estate mogul here in the New York
metropolitan area. I don't want to, you know, you see, you can't afford to give me that kind of billing, because the people out there listening, you know,
are they going
to
apply for a rent reduction?
No. Well, that could be part of it too. Because I, to be honest, every time I go around to collect, I feel bad sometimes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I
certainly do. Not until the check clears, you don't.
Well, I mean, of course, you know, but I mean, the bottom line is that what people are paying for apartments these days compared to how it was way back when.
I know.
It's very expensive.
But
you know?
We're in a bubble, Wayne. It seems as though prices are going up. There's something like $4 trillion in appreciated value of housing in America. When will the bubble burst? When will this all end, Wayne?
I don't see this as a bubble, Mark. I just see this as a progression of life.
Really?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as time goes on, things increase, you know? It's like you're graying hair.
Oh, you got some nerve.
I mean, the bottom line is that over a period of time, you know, everything ages, and this is like a ripe wine.
I know.
You know, I mean,
That's why they call that gray on both sides of your head the temples of doom.
Well,
is that the idea?
yeah. You know, but the bottom line is, Mark, I think it's got to stop at some point because, and it depends upon where you are. I think in New York, out west, maybe in the south, like Florida's like red hot right now if you want to make some deals.
I know.
You know, that would be the place to go. I know people who are buying townhouses down there, especially around the Disney area.
Yeah,
and
I know. I was down there.
And they're making a ton of money coming back to New York.
Can it continue to sustain? Right now, part of what's driving this are very, very low interest rates, which have held fast for much longer than most economists thought, and the idea that there's a lot of money out here to lend to people.
Let's go back to Bush's poll numbers. I mean, can it sustain? What else do we have going for us?
Well, that's what happens. What happens when they wake up one day and realize they're sending all this money to Iraq, and suddenly, you know, there's no real money to generate any kind of forward motion in the American economy.
That's the problem. I mean, we have a problem here with this administration. I think at some point, it's only going to go but so far down if it's to crack.
Really?
If the bubble is to burst, you know, and all that business. But I think, particularly depending upon where you are, I shouldn't say that, you know, some areas would not be affected. You know, even the Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan has said as much.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing is, I think in some areas, particularly in parts of New York, it is extraordinarily high, like the borough that we're in right now, the county of Manhattan.
The median price for any kind of single-family housing in New York, I believe, is $1.2 million in Manhattan.
Yeah,
anyway.
You know, and it's unheard of. I mean, I remember some years ago, especially going, because we've worked for this corporation a long time, I mean, going back to the time when we were up in Harlem, those brownstones were like a dime a dozen back then.
Yep.
Here it is now, you know, years later, you can't get anything for at least $500,000 and up.
I remember there was a guy back in the day who bought a brownstone for like $11,000 in the middle of Harlem when there was abandonment all around him.
Right.
Guy still got the place. He redid the place entirely himself.
Mm-hmm.
The place is probably assessed at somewhere around $750,000.
Right.
On an $11,000 investment, you can't beat that in the stock market. Wayne Gilman, you know what's coming up.
What's coming up?
We're going to talk about the Congressional Black Caucus. Now, we know a lot of people who are members, and we'll talk about the caucus's new best friend. You'd be real shocked at who it is.
I'm shocked as I read this. Walmart?
What? You know, you're not supposed to give it away. Good morning. I'm Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and you're listening to Morning Sedition. Habergami, brothers and sisters. Power to the people. This is Morning Sedition. My name is Mark Riley. Mark Maron is away. He'll be back next week.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings, working class heroes.
Enough of that. No, only kidding. That's my man, Mark Maron.
Yeah.
But we've taken things
zone.
Black today. Right, Wayne Gilman?
Assalamu alaikum to you, too.
Wa alaikum salam,
right.
My brother.
Okay.
Glad to see you here.
I can see half the network tuning out now.
It got really black in here.
Yeah, it got really black.
Yeah,
what's
you
wrong?
Know.
What? We're going to play some Temptations later?
Yeah, we want all our bumper music to be my lost R&B hit.
Yeah. What time is the 50 Cent Marathon?
Yeah,
at any rate, Kent Jones is back with us in studio. Right. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
A pleasure, an honor.
All right. For those of you who are just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about earlier on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Tom DeLay's communications director, Dan Allen, calls it quits. Said Allen, at the end of the day, I guess I just didn't hate the truth as much as I thought I did. Privately, Allen admitted that defending Tom DeLay was nothing to be proud of. He said he looked forward to his new job
as spokesman for a maker of asbestos baby carriers. Hillary Clinton wins the 2008 presidential straw poll of South Carolina Democrats. The poll came years before the next presidential election, but an organizer said that when you're a Democrat in South Carolina, you're always getting polled. Backers hoisted homemade signs saying, Hillary, cleaning up Bush's mess. Hillary is the answer. And I slept with Bill Clinton, too. Deep Throat's family has signed deals for books and a movie, possibly starring Tom Hanks. Hanks wants the real Deep Throat, Mark Felt, to be in the film and play a role called Really Old Guy in the Background. Felt was heard to say, in the first movie, I was played by Hal Holbrook, this time Tom Hanks, but when I look in the mirror, I see Billy Dee Williams.
All right.
Those are your Morning Sedition clip notes for today.
All right. Thank you very much, Ted Jones.
Like that Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah,
I thought
nice,
you might. You know?
Yeah.
Makes you feel at home.
There you go. Mark Maron is going to be performing live at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. Saturday, June 25th, go to bananascomedyclub.com for ticket information. He'll be back next week. Don't get worried. The brother's not going to be here forever, Wayne Gilman, although he is going to be here forever doing
what
news.
What do you mean by that? I mean, why are you going that direction like I'm not going to be there?
I just don't want to scare people, unemployed?
No, no. The thing is, with all due respect, I love Mark Maron, you know?
You do.
And I think it's a good coupling between the two of you. I work with you all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
You know?
Just checking.
I mean, I know you have that kind of persuasion.
I don't want to get
into your business at this hour.
Look, I am a gay rights advocate. That doesn't mean I'm gay, all right?
No. Well.
And as we all know, you hate gays.
No, don't even go there. Rachel Maddow is my best friend.
Oh, yeah. Some of my best friends are gay. Is that what you're getting ready to say?
No, no.
Jeez, what's next? That's Steve from Guess Who's Coming to Dinner?
No. Don't even try that, because I equate their struggle with our struggle.
You do?
You know, and I'm still poor.
Ooh.
All right?
We better call Al Sharpton and tell him. You equate the gay struggle with the black struggle?
You know, I have his number. Let's call him. We should call him before the show's over.
Well, you know, we've got Tom Robbins coming up from the Village Voice. An investigative reporter par excellence. He's going to tell us who the villains are in that West Side Stadium fiasco here in New York. And later on, we're going to talk to Congressman Charles Rangel, who was part of that Get Out of Iraq coalition that just formed the other day. We're going to talk to him about that and a whole heck of a lot more. But Wayne, guess who is the biggest private employer of black people in America?
Well, it's no surprise, because that's the only place you can find work these days other than Air America.
Well, you really want to bear it out, don't you?
No. I just want to keep my job.
Okay. Well, you know what? Walmart.
It's the biggest private employer
in black America, and I guess they've decided to try and emphasize their caring for the brothers and the sisters. By linking up with the Congressional Black Caucus, they are courting the CBC. They are urging. The CEO of Walmart sent Bush a letter urging him to extend the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
You know, what's behind this? That's the thing you have to look at. The wages at Walmart, in spite of what you see on TV, aren't that great at all to begin with.
Oh, they say they're great on TV?
Well, yeah. They have people who look like us.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know, and that...
The kindly grandfather who looks like, you know, this is just some way to supplement my social
security
check.
And that the working conditions are great. You know, they don't believe in having unions. We've seen that.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why all of a sudden they want to fix their wheels to be attached to the CBC, of all people.
Well, here's what H. Lee Scott said. And he is the CEO of Walmart. Quote, I hope that you will stand with me, members of the Congressional Black Caucus, other political and civil rights leaders, and countless Americans, in supporting an extension of the expiring provisions of the Voting Rights Act. That's a letter to President Bush from H. Lee Scott, CEO of Walmart. Now, I don't know whether people have a problem with members of the CBC or anybody else, for that matter, on the political landscape, getting into bed with Walmart. However, during the 2002 election cycle, that was an off-year cycle, Walmart gave $400,000 to Republicans and $50,000 to Democrats. In 2003 and 2004, after soft money from corporations was restricted, Walmart's chair, Rob Walton, gave $35,000 to the Republican Party, and guess how much he gave to the Democrats? Absolutely none. Okay. Now, Bush's reelection campaign got the maximum contribution from Walmart's Political Action Committee. So, you know, that's, I think, where we're going with this. And where is the Congressional Black Caucus on this? Is this a way for Walmart perhaps to get some traction in inner city communities where they've met resistance to building new stores?
Well, that's certainly part of it. And there's another I see in the last paragraph here is something that really I find questionable, is that we're certainly pleased that we're working in support of reauthorization of the Voting Rights Act, said SEIU spokesman Avril Smith. We're in the process of collecting 500,000 signatures in favor of reauthorization through the Rainbow Push, Reverend Jesse Jackson's organization, by the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, Reverend Jackson is implicated in this campaign effort. We know that he's been pushing to see that this voting rights bill is reenacted, but the bottom line is, you know, such a strange bedfellow, Walmart.
Well, yeah, it's a strange bedfellow, but Walmart is not in this because they love black people. They're not even in it because they're the largest private employer of black people.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a financial agenda. That's what they are. They are, in fact, a business. The question then becomes, does the CBC have any business getting in bed with them?
That's a big question, and I think it's something that we need to ask the head of the CBC.
And we ought to ask some people in our listening audience, mm-hmm. what you think of this courtship between Walmart and the Congressional Black Caucus. 40 members in the U.S. Congress from the African-American communities of America. 866-303-2270. 866-303-AAR0 is our phone number. We want to find out what you think. Do you think that the Congressional Black Caucus, or do you have a problem with the CBC getting involved with Walmart on this level? Now, this is a very legitimate issue. We've been hearing, Wayne, over the years, concerns from many quarters in the black community about whether these Voting Rights Act provisions would be allowed to expire. Some people thought that it would have the effect of disenfranchising large numbers of black people.
Well, you know what gets to me? When I stop and think about the possibility that this may not be reenacted, and then when you look at the Senate vote earlier this week on the anti-lynching laws,
yeah.
I mean, I find it unfathomable that as late as 1968, I was living in Brooklyn with my parents as a child. I was in the next to last year of high school, and there were still lynching people who looked like us in the South.
Yes.
And that here it is, only 80 senators the other day were able to sign up through voice vote.
Yeah, the rest of them were busy. No, they forgot. They didn't know.
And just, you know, I mean, and again, I don't, you know, I'm not use. I don't want to use this as a soapbox, but I mean, the bottom line is, man, it just is so unfathomable to think that this kind of mindset still exists in certain corners of the country today. That we're still dealing with this kind of, you know, here in 2005, we got to worry about Voting Rights Acts. And the fact that we could be lynched.
Yeah,
there's some people who'd want to see us lynched.
But I'll tell you what. You know what troubles me about this more than anything? That Walmart is the largest private employer of black people. For some reason, that just upsets me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. I quibble, maybe. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to people on our phones. 866-303-2270. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. Call us at 866-303-2270.
Where you take everyone's suffering and turn it into gold.
That's 866-303-2270.
All right. What are you getting so steamed up about?
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Your vision is too important. For your free video, call 1-800-774-1683. That's 1-800-774-1683.
20 minutes past the hour. It's Morning Sedition. My name is Mark Riley. Mark Maron is on vacation. He will be back next week. Wayne Gilman is sitting in with us. Good morning, Mr. Gilman.
Good morning, Mr. Riley, and again, an honor and a pleasure for Mr. Maron.
All right. We're going to be going to our phones about Walmart and the Congressional Black Caucus momentarily, but before we do, we just want to let you who are waking up and getting that sleep out of your eyes know what's going on in the world. There is a new offensive in Iraq, a new combat offensive between 1,000 Marines and Iraqi these soldiers is in northwestern Iraq. It's called Operation Spear. They got a name for each and every one of those offensives that they have going on. Meanwhile, the Downing Street memo is causing so many ripples in this country, I'm beginning to think that memo actually was started on K Street in Washington, D.C. It's unbelievable now. Congressman Conyers, who did the hard work on this, had a forum on it yesterday in a room the size of a closet that they had been relegated by congressional Republicans, and he had everyone in from Cindy Sheehan to Congressman Charles Rangel, who we'll be talking with later on, about the issue of getting out of Iraq. There's a coalition of people in Congress now who are saying it is time to get out of Iraq, and we'll see whether that actually helps at all. But the thing you need to know about George Bush's poll numbers, 42% approve of the job he's doing. Bill Clinton, at the same time in his second term, 60%. Ronald Reagan, same time his second term, 59%.
Isn't that amazing?
Bush has got work to do.
He certainly does, but I don't think he cares.
Well, he's maybe just, he doesn't.
He is just walking around blithely unaware.
And like, what about the rest of us? We all got deck chairs on the Titanic.
Well, I have, you know, it's getting to that point. You better pull one up or get a life preserver somewhere, you know.
Well, let's see what people think about the Congressional Black Caucus and the dalliance that they appear to be dealing with Walmart, a store that is not universally beloved out here in America. Let's go first to Julian, who is listening to us in Illinois on Sirius. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good, good. I'd just like to point out that the Walmart businessmen think they're the greatest businessmen in the world, and they would expect a quid pro quo. In other words, in exchange for the free publicity, don't make it free. Negotiate some kind of wage concession for the lowest tier of workers or something.
Exactly.
And the second thing is that it could also be pointed out, it would be an opportunity to point out to them that they spend millions on their image when maybe they could spend some money on the problems. I mean, I know it's an idealistic viewpoint there, but
no, you've hit on something here, Julian. What? Try this on for size. How about if the CBC could exert some pressure on Walmart to support an increase in the overall federal minimum wage? Think they'd do it?
Hello?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I missed you after just.
Oh, okay.
I get the idea, and. I just think it could be an opportunity if the CBC, took advantage of it .
Take advantage of the opportunity. All right, Julia, thanks a lot for the call. I'm just wondering, I mean, could the CBC exert enough pressure on Walmart to say we support a hike in the minimum wage even though it's going to cost us money?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, that's going to be the bottom line there. It affects their bottom line, you know, because it increases their debt service.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
But, I mean, it's certainly a salient point. It's something that they could work on. And what's minimum wage now? $5.75 an hour?
I think
like
it's
that?
$5.75
an hour. Excuse me.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. We're on the air.
This would a man with a cross on his neck, ladies and gentlemen.
Give me a break.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I understand.
Forgive me. I hope I have not offended anyone.
But don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Let's go next to Omar. Our good friend Omar is calling us from Westchester. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Marin? Hey, should I call you Wayne Joe in the news daddy?
Oh, I'm honest. Let me get on my knees.
Omar, what's up with Walmart, man? What do you think?
What's good, baby? What I think is they're going to go with the Democratic diplomatic way about it because they want to look like they're universal. They have a lot to gain even if they go like, okay, we'll work with you. I don't think that they're going to go with the, let's raise the minimum wage or even let's get a union because it's going to make it look like they're too far left. And Walmart will pull back because right now they're in bed with who? The Republicans. So if they feel like they're getting in their pockets too much, they're going to say, forget it, forget you. We will take our business elsewhere because they got the best prices in town despite who they have working for them. So that's not their issue. I just think that.
It's all financial. It's all about the dollar.
All financial, baby.
All right. Thanks, Omar. You know, again, the question is, what happens if somebody goes to a Charlie Rangel or somebody else in the CBC and says, you know, Congressman, we've been looking to expand in your state. And, in fact, we've been looking to expand into
in your
city.
District.
And, in fact, in your district, we would like to build a 5 zillion-square-foot Walmart store to serve your customers there in the inner city. What do you think the CBC members are going to say if that happens? Let's find out what Danny thinks. Danny's calling us from KPOJ in Oregon. Danny, good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
How
good
you
morning.
Doing?
I'm good. And by the way, it's great to hear you two together because obviously your history together, you have a great rapport.
Well, thanks a lot, man. Make your point real quick.
Okay, real quick. I think that It's disgusting, first of all, but the CBC should at least take this as an opportunity. If Walmart is being opportunistic, then CBC should be opportunistic and shame them by saying publicly every time they can, well, if Walmart is going to pay our people a living wage, which they're not doing right now, and if they would at least give them health care, which they're not doing right now because 80% of them are on Medicaid, then we believe that they're doing the right thing.
Okay, good point. Thanks a lot, Danny. Yeah, see, now maybe shaming is the way to go, Wayne Gilman. You know about that.
Don't let me get started, Mr. Rowley. I know your daughter listens to the program.
That's right.
All right. You know.
So as you well know, I have no shame.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, they need to be shamed. And, you know, and I'll say publicly, I'm ashamed to say that I've even shopped in Walmart from time to time.
I've only been there once. Now,
really?
Listen, Tom Robbins is coming up. Now, have you done anything illegal lately?
What do you mean, have I done anything illegal?
I'm just making sure, man, because if you have, Tom Robbins gets on your case, go to court and confess
now.
Yeah,
I know.
Okay?
I mean, listen, that Russell Harding investigation.
I know, man. Scared a lot
me.
Of people here in
New
York. But look,
you know?
Tom's going to come on and tell us who the scoundrels are with regard to sort of that failed attempt to build a stadium on the west side of New York. We're going to talk about taxpayer subsidies for stadia in general.
All right.
27 past the hour. This is Air America Radio.
Morning Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Now, we'll do our homework, and hopefully that will help you do yours, too.
Politically Direct on Air America Radio.
Keeping it real, yo. 34 past the hour. This is Morning Tradition. My name is Mark Riley. Mark Maron is away. He'll be back next week. Our special guest co-host is none other than Air America newsman extraordinaire Wayne Gilman, a.k.a. News Daddy.
Good morning.
Good morning. That sounds good. I'm going to be on Connected Coast to Coast on MSNBC at noon Eastern time today.
Who the hell cares?
Hey, shut up. I'll also be on Road to City Hall. Where are you going to be, chump?
I don't get cable vision.
Right.
I dropped my subscription.
You dropped your subscription
for
what? It costs
too much.
What, you got carrier vision now?
I have satellite.
You got satellite?
Like the rest of the Bronx.
It's going to rain today. You're not going to see nothing. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn.
Yeah,
next
get it
Friday,
out, right.
June 24th. Tons of giveaways, including Wayne Gilman, will be joined by DMC of Run DMC fame and New York
all
City
right.
Council Speaker Gifford Miller. Go to morningtradition.com for more details. Mark Maron performing live at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, Saturday, June 25th. Go to bananascomedyclub.com.
Jews.
For ticket information. Let us say good morning to staff writer from the Village Voice and a guy who I wouldn't want to have coming after me.
I don't know why not.
Mr. Tom Robbins. Tom, how you doing, man?
Yeah, good, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. Say good morning to Wayne Gilman.
Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
Just around yourself, Tom. Welcome to WBLS. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Going crazy,
I've already
Tom.
Blown it. I'm sorry. And we had instructions about this before the segment.
Yeah, right? Now, Tom, you wrote a piece in this week's Village Voice that talks about the failure of the West Side Stadium and some hidden interests that people had in it. But let's start out from the very beginning. I always thought this thing wasn't going to fly. Why do you think it didn't?
You know, this has to be one of the greatest con jobs that was ever almost pulled off in New York City. And this is a city of great con jobs. You know, this started back in 1999 when a man named Daniel Doktoroff, who had cooked up the idea of landing the Olympics in New York in the year 2012, persuaded then-Mayor Giuliani to back the bid. And the idea even back then was that there was going to be a stadium on the west side that would house the New York Jets as well as the Olympics. And this was music to Giuliani's ears because you remember that for years he had tried to get a stadium on the west side for the Yankees.
I remember.
And that idea had fallen apart.
Right.
So here was a great backup plan, and lo and behold, Michael Bloomberg gets elected in 2001, and who does he choose to be his deputy mayor for economic development and rebuilding but Daniel Doktoroff? And the number one thing that Doktoroff has spent the last 3 years focusing on is getting the Olympics and getting the West Side Stadium built. an idea that went flat last month up in Albany, as you know.
Yeah, the Albany powers that be, the people that actually have the land use checkoff, I guess, on the city of New York, decided that they were not going to support building the West Side Stadium. But, Tom, we've seen now stadium proposals in the last week growing like ragweed.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I know. We've got one for the Mets, one for the Yankees. And if you add across the amount of public money that's going to be spent for each one of these projects, it comes out to almost $1 billion, doesn't it?
I haven't tallied it up yet. We'll take a close look at each one of those, both the new Mets stadium out there in Queens and the new Yankee stadium at some point soon, I hope. But, you know, I mean, what you're looking at here is a masterful public relations job by Mayor Bloomberg. Give him credit. Both these ideas have been well underway for a long time. A new Mets stadium, the new Yankee stadium, both teams have been floating these ideas. They both broached concepts of it for a couple years ago. They were sitting in the back pocket, waiting for an opportunity, presumably after the election. If the mayor had gotten the West Side Stadium, the last thing in the world he wanted to do was to talk about one or two other new stadiums that taxpayers are going to probably have to assist. But with the collapse of the West Side Jet Stadium, he immediately turned to Plan B over in Queens and revived the Mets idea and was able to pull it out quickly in time. He's in Ghana right now, you know, promoting that idea.
Yeah.
And the Yankees, of course, George Steinbrenner's not going to be left behind. He got his out
the next day,
48 hours later.
Yeah.
Tom, I just wanted to ask, I mean, it seems like the mayor's poll numbers tanked as soon as this rejection came from Albany. And you think he's through now? Because this was almost like his signature piece.
You know, it remains to be seen, Wayne, what kind of a drop he gets in his numbers after this, whether or not it stays down. You know, they would not submit the West Side Stadium to a popular vote of any kind. You know, there was ideas back in 99 or 2000, I think Peter Vallone wanted to put this stuff on a public referendum. The then Mayor Giuliani wouldn't let him. No one wanted the public to ever vote on this idea because they knew it would lose. They ended up losing the one vote, the only vote they ever had to face, and that was three members, the governor, the speaker of the assembly, and the president of the Senate. And they lost that vote, 2-1.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's thank goodness that we have at least one level of democracy, because otherwise this thing would have sailed through. You know, I don't know what the long-term impact is going to be on Bloomberg's numbers. I think that if his Democratic rivals continue to talk about the fact that this would have otherwise been a $2.5 billion boondoggle, who knows? Maybe people will hear it.
Tom Robbins is our guest. He is staff writer for the Village Voice. Tom, let's take a look at a wider playing field here, not to use that metaphor necessarily, but, municipalities all across America end up getting faced with the question of how much money, if any money, from the public, taxpayer dollars, should go into the construction of what ends up being, in most instances, a private facility. How do you think the public should view this sort of thing, and what sort of yardstick should they use?
I think it's different strokes for different folks. You know, I'm pretty parochial. I live here in New York, and we know in New York that we don't need a new stadium on the West Side to make our town a place where people want to come. We draw the most tourists of any town, any city in America, and we're going to continue to draw them regardless of whether or not we have an Olympic stadium. But I know that the experience of other towns, Baltimore, Cleveland, has been enormous sapping of the taxpayers. My colleague at The Voice, a guy named Neil DeMoz, has written a whole book on this. He calls it Field of Schemes, and he's got a website called it. Anybody interested in looking at those other boondoggles could check it out.
Incredible.
Tom, former Senator Al D'Amato figured in this whole scenario favorably, I guess for him because he was able to push that whole Republican agenda aside in terms of having this thing voted down. What was that about? And how come Bloomberg was not prepared for that?
That was about the do-re-mi. You know, Al D'Amato's a guy, since he left the Senate, you know, he's laughing all the way to the bank. He appeared on New York One. Dominic Carter, the host, asked him, is it true, Senator, that you got $1 million for one phone call? He says, I made more than that. this is a man who has...
certainly not shy.
He has gone to lobbying like a bee to honey. And he was hired for by his friend, Jim Dolan, who owns Cablevision, to represent them on this. And I am sure that Al D'Amato, who was one of the biggest backers of Westway back in the day, which is the only boondoggle that rivaled the stadium, I'm sure that he was pretty agnostic on whether or not there should be, but he knew where his paycheck was coming from, and he went right to the one man whose vote he could truly influence, and that's Joe Bruno, the head of the Senate up in Albany.
Mm. Now, Tom, why do you think it is that a proposal to build a stadium in Queens which was off the table for so long when they were trying to build one on the west side of Manhattan. The mayor and everybody else said, no, we can't build it out there. Now suddenly it's like, we can build it out there.
Isn't that something?
It's amazing.
You talk about reverse field runs. The mayor and Dr. Ruff continually denigrated Queens. For the last almost 2 years, they said not only would the Olympics, International Olympics Committee, refused to consider a stadium in Queens. They said that it would never work. They said that the mayor's phrase, the borough does not have the grandeur that the west side of Manhattan has. It was just remarkable. But, the even funnier thing was they got most of the Queens political delegation to go along with them on that and to say, yeah, let's build it in Manhattan. And as recently as last month, they were telling the mayor and telling the Olympics Committee that please don't build one in Queens because of the fact it would increase our traffic out here.
Incredible. Tom Robbins, it's always great to talk with you, man.
Terrific. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks a lot. You take care.
Take care.
Tom Robbins, staff writer for the Village Voice,
mm-hmm.
and man who knows where the skeletons are buried.
That's for sure. He makes some very interesting comments with respect to what's going on out here, but it still seems like as if the mayor is invincible on this project plan.
Well, I don't think it's going to hurt his poll numbers that much.
I'm just amazed how it just significantly dropped. I mean, he was doing double digits over Fernando Ferrer just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then the minute this thing happened, there was already talk of Shelley Silver running for mayor.
Some people talked. But, I mean, look, this is an issue, again, that people all over America end up having to face. They faced it in Baltimore. They faced it in Cleveland. Dallas was arguing they wanted a new stadium. All of these different municipalities are faced with sports club owners
mm-hmm.
who say, I need your help. In other words, when they say your, they're talking about both the elected officials and the taxpayers of
exactly.
those cities and states in order to make this thing happen. And in football's cases, we're talking about 8-10 games a year. In baseball's case, we're talking about 80 some odd games a year. But remember that to build this thing up in the Bronx, for example, the Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, they're going to have to take the park that's immediately north of the existing Yankee Stadium.
I have problems with that. I mean, that's the only thing about the plan that I happen to dislike, because I think that's sacred ground where the Yankees have played all these years.
Yeah,
and
a lot of people
think is,
Al Franken said that. You were listening to Al Franken.
I just listened to the first 15 minutes yesterday when he talked about the Bronx, which is a rare occasion. And again, he's not from the city. So for him to even open up and talk about a place that I live in, I'm happy to hear that.
You love the Bronx.
I do. There's something about the culture. Something about Orchard Beach. Something about Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez.
No.
There we go. Now, listen.
Yeah.
We're going to go to break momentarily, and we're going to talk about a few things. We're going to talk about that Klan guy.
Yeah. I heard he got sick yesterday.
Yeah.
I heard that. I hope they took. That's right. We have Rapture Watch coming up.
Oh,
also.
I forgot about Rapture Watch.
Yeah.
Yes, Rapture Watch.
But as far as that guy killing is concerned, I hope they took him to a black hospital. And I hope
they found a black nurse.
Named Shaniqua, some heavy-set woman, to give him an examination.
Okay.
That's how I feel about his health at this point.
45 minutes past the hour, Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil. In 3 hours or less, Air America Radio.
That's cabinet refacing from Sears Home Services. 1-800-828-1200. That's 1-800-828-1200.
Didn't I hear this once at a go-go bar? 49 minutes past the hour. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. My name is Mark Riley. Mark Maron is out today. He will be back next week in our studio as our special guest co-host is none other than...
Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Thank you very much. Now, Mark, again, will be back next week. He's at Go Bananas. A very favorite place of some of our writers here. In Hasbrouck Heights, New Jersey on June 25th.
Yeah, right in your neighborhood.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
In my state, as a matter of
fact. Okay.
The Bible's Book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milthington of the recently disgraced diocese of Pomona, California. Your Grace?
Heed my words, ye cabbage-crunching abstainers of meat.
You have avoided the wrath of the cattle industry for the last time. For colon cancer, like marriage, is a God-ordained institution.
All right.
Bringing families together to help pay medical bills and fight over inheritance. And as God said to Noah, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark. And after that, you shall bring two more and two more and two more. God said the words two more over and over and over again until it sounded like tumor. And that's why we should eat meat. Little sidebar there. Anyway, as God's accountant, I feel I should inform you that as an investor in Satan's 401k, you will most certainly retire in a higher income bracket, thereby wiping out all the advantages of any substantial tax-deferred income you may have accumulated over your career as a harlot to the sins of Hamelahab. Please consult your financial advisor for more information. Midnight approacheth it, ye perverted peddlers of couscous. For a while you've been idly wasting the hours away watching Iron Chef, pleasuring yourselves with celery sticks, and pelting the cross of Jesus with fermented raspberries. Beelzebub has slowly been piecing together the delicate puzzle of Christ's prophetic vision. For according to the AP, or Antichrist Press, the United States will soon require all passports containing digital photos and embedded biometric chips. An official from the Department of Homeland Security said he'd reveal the details of the new standard soon, along with his trident and reptilian tail. To get a better understanding of the importance surrounding the story, we now take you to Rapture Watch correspondent Wayne Gilman. Good morning, Wayne.
Morning, Cardinal. Great to be here. Say, how's that summer house coming along?
Oh, you know, it's more of the same. It's a fixer-upper. I had some burst pipes last winter. Yeah, it's a good investment. The kids like it. Get a lot of fishing done, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I hear you. Flounder, striped mullet, musk bunker?
Nah, just a little mutton snapper.
You know, I ever TGIF, right?
Yeah, TGIF, you bet. So what's your take on the new passports, Wayne?
It's the mark of the beast. Satan will surely burn the image of his scaly penis onto the belly of every sinner, as surely as Christ will kill us all in the apocalypse. It's only a matter of time before we taste the horrible smoke of our own torments.
And what revelation do you base this on, Wayne?
None. It's just my own weird fantasy. You got a problem with that?
Heck no, Wayne. You know how much I admire you for your sick thoughts.
Can it, jackass?
Well, there you have it, Hobbit lovers. The mark of the beast will soon be upon you. But while you're suckling at the teeth of Beelzebub, Wayne Gilman and I will be seated at the throne of Jesus and his pet monkey Bubbles.
Until then, this is Wayne Gilman saying keep on fornicating, fornicators. In hell.
So, Cardinal?
Yes.
No lines for the other black man, huh?
Like I said before, you know, you're colorless to me. You're beyond the racial barrier.
Yeah. His wife says the same thing.
Wait a minute. At least I got a wife, Creed.
Hey, listen, you know, I gave up on that. You know,
gave up on what?
If Bayshore's listening, never mind.
Wife? Marriage?
Why you got to personalize things? You don't do this with the white guy. You don't do it. You wait for me to come in here to get personal.
Because we got history.
When Marion is here.
When I get to know Marion for 30 years, I'll do the same thing.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's wait 30 years.
Brother,
man. The show is still on another year.
Wait.
You should be thankful you got a job, Mark Ryan.
Hey, wait a minute.
Wayne's not married because he's got more to give to the ladies.
That's right, you know.
What do you know about giving to the ladies over there, Arnold?
I don't know.
You
know?
You take a vow of celibacy?
Yeah. I'm into prenuptial agreements. Let's talk about that.
Wait a minute.
That's where I'm coming from.
Right.
Until I can find someone willing to understand what a prenuptial agreement's about, then...
Then
we'll wait until we get
the Gilman treasure will be shared.
I'll stay single.
You'll stay single.
I can do bad all by myself.
The Gilman estate.
That's right.
The Gilman estate. Wow.
I ain't losing nothing at this point. I paid enough the last time. Sent her back to her country.
Back to her country?
I did.
What, Hartford?
No, the Dominican Republic. You know?
You were married to her.
Yeah, it was like a marriage.
It was like a marriage.
$40,000. Why are we talking about me?
You took that deduction off your last apartment.
We are doing a network program, Mark Riley.
I know,
man. Why are you talking about
this?
This
is all about news, Danny.
The white guy.
It's about you.
You know, you see, you You get
you got too many
me.
Lines in the last bit. That's why I did it. And if you want to know.
You know, you
if you want to know, I'm calling my agent.
You
that's
can
why.
The show by yourself now.
I used to love the fat guys.
Yeah, right. See? The Cardinal.
Guys, don't be hating on each other.
Yeah, hating,
no, but I'll tell you what.
You should
I'll stop hating
the
on
show.
Them. I'll start hating on you.
Yeah.
Get out. Have a nice trip. Ready to get work, all right?
All right.
No, thanks for coming by, man.
Yeah, you're my team.
Yeah, man.
And thanks for giving me a chance to say your favorite line there, man. I listen to that every day.
Work the mother. Which one? We don't know. But have a nice trip, all right?
Whatever.
And by the way, find an iron while you're out. Do something with that shirt.
That's a visual joke.
I know. I drip steam like a microphone fiend.
Where the hell did that come from?
Wait a minute. You guys have been recording me again against my knowledge and against my wishes.
Always, baby.
Where's Reverend Sharpton's number? You got his number on speed
dial.
Yeah,
I know.
You
have
to throw a picket line up in front of you.
917.
Uh-oh. Listen, folks, if you want to know the straight skinny about the Downing Street memo, Congressman John Conyers had a hearing on it yesterday, but you can see it for yourself, read it for yourself, decide for yourself. You don't have to have Bill O'Reilly tell you. You don't have to have Mark Riley tell you. This is what you need to do. DowningStreetMemo.com. DowningStreetMemo.com. You can read it for yourself and see exactly who's been lying to who and who's been pulling the wool over whose eyes. Am I right there, Mr.?
You're absolutely right, for a change.
For a change?
Yes.
All right, okay, now. We still got an hour of this left.
I know.
I can unload on you in the next hour.
And I don't want to get started.
We're going to go back to the thrilling days of yesteryear when Wayne Gilman used to drive a cab across 100. We won't even get into that. We've got in our next hour Congressman Charles Rangel. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world and the liberal aggressor. All for you next here on Air America Radio. Good morning. I'm Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and you're listening to Morning Sedition. Hey, my peeps. Morning Sedition, 6 minutes past the hour. My name is Mark Riley. Mark Maron is away. He'll be back next week. Our special guest co-host is none other than News Daddy himself, Wayne Gilman.
One more hour.
And one more hour. Let's say congratulations for those of you who are waking up. The Detroit Pistons housed the San Antonio Spurs, evening their NBA final series at 2 games apiece.
I still think the Spurs are going to take them.
You still think so?
Yeah, I feel that, you know.
You want to put some money on it?
Well, yeah, your paycheck. Sure.
Your paycheck? Your paycheck, my paycheck?
Yeah, right.
Well, in other words, if you win, you take my paycheck?
You know, the thing is, I shouldn't say that because I know you have a family to feed.
That's right.
I'm by myself.
I know. And all by yourself.
Yeah, right. All by myself.
we won't get into why.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I'm sure they're... Anyway, they won 102
right.
to 71.
Yeah.
But you know
What time is it?
Next year, the Knicks?
Yeah.
What, are you nuts?
I am optimistic. I think our team is going to come back.
Really?
Even with Phil Jackson back on the scene, you know?
Who do you think should be the coach?
Of the Knicks?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Herb Williams?
Nothing, except I don't think he's going to get the gig. But that's another discussion for another day.
Right.
You know what time it is now?
What time is it, Riley?
Ooh. Time for a little thing I like to call the dog of the week.
I thought that was your mating call.
Yeah, very funny. I think I'm going to change the name of the dog of the week to the Gilman of the week from now on.
You know,
we have several candidates who are more than worthy of the dog designation this week. How about Massachusetts Senate, Governor Mitt Romney, who has decided to pander to social conservatives by supporting an amendment to ban gay marriage in the only state where it's legal. Then there are the 16-odd members of the United States Senate who couldn't find it in their heart to sign on to an apology for not passing anti-lynching legislation. Both worthy contenders, but this week's dog has history, a bloody history that goes back 40 years. We're not usually prone to prejudging trials before they're finished, but there's one going on in Mississippi that demands attention. It's the murder trial of Edgar Ray Killen, who stands charged with brutally killing 3 civil rights workers back in 1964. Killen was a part-time preacher and full-time Klansman who was only now facing justice, and even that has come into question. Killam was taken to the hospital Thursday, the opening day of testimony in his trial. He's got high blood pressure, and doctors will decide whether he's well enough to be back in court today. There's a lot more compassion. That's a lot more compassion and a lot more caring than Edgar Ray Killam gave his victims, allegedly, for being part of a reign of terror during the height of the civil rights movement and cloaking his racism in Christianity. Edgar Ray Killam is hands down the Morning Sedition Dog of the Week. Oh. Well, slipping a hand there, but I'm glad to hear that he's being tried finally.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, he's the only one who's faced murder charges in the 41 years this case has been alive.
Yeah, they had civil rights charges, but they couldn't get the jury to make a decision in that.
Yeah,
regard.
It's amazing.
The world
we live in.
Well, you know what is equally amazing, Wayne Gilman, is that dropping of George W. Bush's support numbers, pal.
I'm not surprised. Why is that amazing?
Well,
what is it that, you know, why would you think that is so amazing, given what's going on out there?
Because he's been able to sell this snake oil for the last 5 years. That's why. He sold it enough to get himself reelected.
Some people say that was theft.
Yeah, well, right after the election, George W. Bush had a 51% approval rating. According to the latest New York Times CBS News poll, that's down to 42%. The only thing lower? Congress, which is down to 33%. We'll have to ask Congressman Charles Rangel about that a little later when we talk to him. 25% approve of George Bush's handling of Social Security. And there are Republicans in Congress, Wayne, who are saying it's done for the year. It's not going to happen.
Well, they're all looking for exit strategies now, and they're probably trying to exit and distance themselves from the president at this point, given what's ahead next year.
Yeah. You know, well, it's off-year elections, and maybe people don't want to end up having their head on the political chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
The Downing Street memo scandal was in full effect yesterday in our nation's capital as Congressman John Conyers was forced by some of those same low-life Republican congresspeople to hold his forum on the Downing Street memo in a room that looked for all the world to be the size of a closet. I mean, you know, people were just all crushed together. But there were some very interesting folks that came to this hearing, including Cindy Sheehan, who was the lady who the other day, in Kentucky, said she wanted to drive a political stake through the black heart of George W. Bush. She lost a son in Iraq.
Right.
So we're looking at a situation now where there is increased momentum building for a thorough examination of exactly what happened with this Downing Street memo and whether or not it indicates, as it seems to, that George W. Bush had an agenda well before the invasion of Iraq and built his intelligence structure around the notion of an invasion instead of the other way around.
Well, I think there's no question about that. I mean, we saw this come out during the 9/11 Commission investigation. We've seen other instances in which the public, in which he has gone out publicly and said things that would give you reason to stop and think, well, gee, you know, why would he say this unless there was some intent behind it? And the way he campaigned, the way he gave the United Nations hell before going in there and launching the war against Iraq, I mean, it was all indicative of, you know, there was a preconceived notion to launch this war.
Yeah.
And the deal is that he's done so much to cover up. He's altered the way in which the press covers wars now.
Well, he has.
And that's all part and parcel of his design. You know, I mean, it was intended to be this way, and there's no game plan, there's no exit strategy, and I mean, the thing is, he's made the insurgents look good.
He seems to have made the insurgents look like they know what they're doing a lot more than the American forces that are trying to train the Iraqi soldiers. And in the meantime, Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar and Zarqawi are all running around free as birds, apparently.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and of course, Zarqawi inside Iraq, he's being blamed for this recent spike of violence that's going on.
Yeah, so we read that today. And the thing is, you know, as Dan Pashman points out periodically, that there have been four occasions in the last 3 years, 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, in which we've had an opportunity to catch Zarqawi. And, you know, even this last go-around where they had this offensive in western Iraq, and they believe that he suffered some severe injuries then. I can't help but feel that they knew where he was, but they didn't capture him.
No, they didn't capture him. And Americans are not happy with the continuing American presence and the continuing American loss of life inside Iraq. In fact, the only good news for George W. Bush in this latest poll, the CBS News New York Times poll, is that 52% approve of his conduct of the war on terror. Now, I don't know how in the world 52% of the American people believe that he actually is taking care of any business there. These people are still on the loose. They are still, as far as I can tell, free to plot terrorist attacks against America.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea. 37% approve of his handling of the Iraq war. That's down from 45% just in the month of February.
And it's going to continue to decline, Mark.
I believe it is.
I really think so.
It is. And, you know, the Social Security thing looks like it may be off the table.
Yeah.
There just seems to be this, as you very correctly point out, this onslaught of bad news on this guy right now.
But, his way of dealing with it is deflect attention. I mean, whenever you see him publicly, it's like he's got the smile on the face.
Yeah.
You know, he walks around like as if, you remember the cartoon character in the Daily News years ago, Dondi? He reminds me of Dondi.
He kind of has the same shaped head, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, you know. I mean, minus the hat and all that business. But, I mean, it's just one of those things. There's something about his character and his persona that, you know, I just find it revolting at times when you think of 1,700 Americans going to their deaths.
Yeah.
You know, and his hands are full of blood.
Yeah.
And he acts like as if nothing's happened,
you know? And nothing kind of detracts from his overly optimistic scenario.
Right.
But you know what? There's a cadre of people in Congress now that are trying to take some real firm and hard positions on getting out of Iraq. We talked to Senator Russ Feingold about this earlier this week, and we're going to talk about some of the people that have formed a group to get America out of Iraq. Next, here on Air America Radio, it's 15 past the hour.
Hi, this is Congressman Gerald Nadler from New York State District, and you're listening to Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
Evaluate for 30 days. Call now, 1-800-900-2657. That's 1-800-900-2657.
Embryonic stem cell research. Is it right? Here's a message from The Speck is the Life Ministries and the Reverend Messersmith.
We've all heard the godless liberals who say it's okay to chop up stem cells and use them for research. But stem cells are living things. And if you don't believe me, I have one right here. Isn't that right, Sammy the Stem Cell?
Whatever you say, numbnuts!
Sammy, won't it be great to develop into a human being made in the image of God?
First, humans can kiss my microscopic ass. And second, screw God. You know what I mean? I'm God. Maybe humans are the virus. Did you see the Matrix?
But Sammy, don't you want to be a little baby?
A baby? Sure. Only if I get to breastfeed. I mean, big milky ones. Wow! Reverend, you and I think alike, you dirty butt slurp. No, I don't want to be some whining, helpless little poop machine. Abort me now! Hack me up and suck me out with a vacuum! That's what Sammy says!
But don't you think it's cruel to do research on stem cells, Sammy? It's murder.
That's not murder. I'll show you murder! Hey, Tommy Stem Cell, come over here!
What's up, Sammy? Hey, what was it? Was that a knife?
Eat steel, you greasy zygote! Look, Reverend, I'm killing the cure for cancer!
Stop it! Stop, I say, you horrible little thing! You're horrific!
And you're welcome, ass munch! You better hightail it out of here unless you want a piece of what Tommy got! And now I'm gonna eat him!
On second thoughts, listen to what Sammy says when he says, humans, humans. Humans suck.
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey.
Very creative.
Very creative. And stemmy. This is Morning's Edition. My name is Mark Riley. Mark Maron is away. He'll be back next week. Our special guest co-host, none other than Wayne Gilman, Air America's newsman extraordinaire, a.k.a. News Daddy. I'm going to be connected coast to coast on MSNBC noon Eastern time today. You slackers that are at home, check it out.
Yeah.
I'm also going to be on the road to City Hall here in New York City on New York One tonight at 7:30. We're going to be broadcasting live from the Tea Lounge in Park Slope, Brooklyn, next Friday, June 24th. We'll have tons of giveaways. Plus, we're going to be joined by DMC. rapper extraordinaire from Run DMC fame, and New York City Council Speaker Gifford Miller. Go to morningsedition.com for details on that. Mark Maron performing live at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. That takes place Saturday, June 25th. Go to bananascomedyclub.com for ticket information. And, of course, we are raising money to send inner-city kids to camp. You can change the life of a kid in the South Bronx. $35 sponsors a morning hike for 15 kids. $75 sponsors an afternoon of camp activities for 30 kids. And $350 sponsors 1 week at camp for a child. Go to morningsedition.com and click on Camp Air America for details. Wayne, I know your wallet's out, man.
I want to plug something here. You know,
what do you want to plug?
Else. I have a Section 8 sale coming up in a couple
Wait
months.
A minute. We're not going for no Section 8 sale.
Yeah, you know, I think you plug everything else.
Well,
you know.
I mean,
like,
what?
Who wants to sit there and watch you on MSNBC this afternoon?
You will be.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
My television doesn't even work on that channel.
Well, we'll have to make sure you're here on the premises so you can watch it
please,
then.
Please, that's torture.
Well, what? Watching me is torture?
Yes.
Well, then get out.
I didn't ask to be here in the first place.
Oh, well, then get out. Now, listen, momentarily we're going to be talking to Manhattan Congressmember Charles Rangel, and there has been a coalition formed, Wayne Gilman, in the Congress of the United States.
And I hope they're successful.
They want to get American troops the heck out of Iraq. I mean, we've seen just more and more and more bad news coming out of Iraq. Hundreds, if not thousands, of Iraqi civilians killed. 1,713 American troops killed since the hostilities began over there. And some people think it's time to get out. Of course, Russell Feingold, senator from Wisconsin, who has long been a critic of the war in Iraq, was on our show, Morning's Edition, earlier this week, and he talked about how unsafe he felt when he was in Iraq.
We were in the green zone, wearing flak jackets and helmets in the green zone just to go to meetings. This is in the protected zone. I remember asking one of the generals there, I said, you know, how are things going after the election? He goes, well, you know, things are stable. We only have 50 to 60 attacks a day. And, you know, this was good news. And, of course, it's gotten much worse since then.
That is incredible. That is a United States senator
right.
Saying that it is not really going that well over there, and that senators and members of Congress that go are equally at risk as the people, the military troops that are, by the way, in harm's way. You know, people always try to make it sound as if any criticism of the war, any criticism of the war effort is an implied criticism of the troops. Well, it seems as though more and more Americans are starting to separate that out a little bit, Wayne Gilman.
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, you know, just to take it from a local perspective, the other day we were reading that a soldier from upstate New York, National Guardsman, if I'm not mistaken, took the life of two local fellow guardsmen because the morale is so low. You know, this is part and parcel, a part of the same problems that they're facing over there. There's no exit strategy. Morale is down. You know, when you come back here, there's this feeling that your job had been thankless, you know.
I know.
So, I mean, the thing is to say, what else is there left to do at this point?
Well, I guess we're supposed to take some strength from Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State.
What strength?
I don't know. I mean, you called her the ice queen earlier, but she's saying that the administration has to explain its goals and missions a little better.
Well, isn't her part of her job?
Well, I guess that's what she's saying.
Well, obviously, the thing is she's not doing a very good job of it. You know, that she will respond periodically to certain things and give a nice positive spin to it, but somehow it's not resonating with the American public.
Well, let me give you a quote from our Secretary of State. By the way, the president is going to be delivering a speech on U.S. objectives in Iraq coming up later this month. But this is a quote from our Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice. Quote, I am going to, like I think all members of the administration, perhaps try to do more to get out to the public to talk about what it is we are trying to achieve and what it is we are achieving. Well, she won't have to spend a lot of time on what we are achieving, that's for sure.
Well, that's it. I mean, the thing is, how do you put a Band-Aid on this cancer? How do you put icing on this cake? The thing is, it's ridiculous. Every bit of evidence. You have Republican conservative members of Congress.
Yeah, Walter Jones.
Exactly, coming forward and saying, you know, we're losing this thing. You know?
Yeah.
It's not just a Democratic situation alone. You have people on the other side of the aisle coming across saying, you know, we need to get out of this.
Well, one of the most vocal critics of the Iraq War is also a former serviceman. He is the dean of New York's congressional delegation. Congressman Charles Rangel joins us next. This is Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. It's 27 minutes past the hour.
Tradition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Steel right now for a free quote. 800-708-3095. 800-708-3095.
Minutes past the hour on Morning Tradition. My name is Mark Riley. Mark Maron is away. He will be back next week. He's also appearing at Bananas Comedy Club in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey on Saturday, June 25th. You can go to bananascomedyclub.com. We'd also recommend that you go to DowningStreetMemo.com. That's all one word. You can read the Downing Street Memo for yourself. Find out for yourself what you think of it. Wayne Gilman is here with us, a.k.a. News Daddy.
Good morning, Mark.
Oh, I thought you were still eating that croissant or whatever that thing is.
I'm not about to eat until after the show.
What's that white stuff in the middle, man? What is that,
butter.
Marshmallow?
No, that's butter.
Oh, you put butter on there?
Yeah, I don't believe in margarine.
You don't, me neither, you actually. Know? I really don't like margarine.
Yeah, you know, something very synthetic about the taste. Yeah, that too, you know, could be.
We got our food from the city. Am I not supposed to promote the city? Oh, no,
we can promote it. I'll say it.
Brendan and Dan got a mouthful of food, so now we can promote it. The city bakery did the right thing.
That's right.
Did the right thing by the brothers.
I appreciate it.
Yes, we do. I appreciate the pineapples, the cherries, the croissants, the whole nine yards.
And I hope it does something for your colon.
Wait a minute, man. What are you talking about my colon for on the radio, man? We got a national audience over here.
Well, you were
What's wrong with you?
You were personal with me last
time. Are you trying
to
say I got a spastic colon?
I don't want to get that graphic.
Oh,
you know?
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Gilman.
Yeah.
Now, Chris Lopresto, who, by the way, wore himself out in yesterday's Air America Jim Earls baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily successfully, but they lost 11 to 10.
11 to 10.
I don't know what the record is. What is it? 2-6 or 2-7 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Tanking faster than the Colorado Rockies. But that's a whole other story for another day. Chris Lopresto hurt himself yesterday. Wore himself out. He's sore. He's tired.
Uh-huh.
He's, you know, but you know, this food that we got from City Baker is going to wake him right up.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
Chris?
Yeah, he's got a long gig today.
He's got a long gig. And, you know, we really appreciate the fact that he played all that black music throughout the most of this morning.
Well,
so, you know, make us feel comfortable, make us feel at home,
you know?
Make us feel in context.
Yeah, I know this is unusual for you because the thing is you've gotten so used to being the
tool of the white man?
Exactly.
Is that what it is?
Yes, Mr. Riley.
I don't know. Well, you know, you have your ear in the street, man.
You have my ear in the street.
Yeah, you're in the South Bronx. Is that what they say about me in the South Bronx?
Well, you know, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to say you sold out.
Oh, is that what it is? You got some nerve.
I don't want to say that. You know, I just little things that I hear.
Oh, yeah?
You know?
What is this? Once you go black, you never go back? You know, what is the deal here?
That's exactly how
it is. Well, you're still black. You work for the same company.
I intend to be.
But I'm a bigger sellout than you.
No, you are. You know,
why?
Because I mean, they know you.
What do you mean they know me?
Your reputation precedes yourself, Mr. Riley.
All right, then, damn it. Here we go. I can remember back in the early 70s, on 125th Street between 5th and Lenox Avenue.
And that's right. I used to push a cab.
Yes, with a certain hack.
I made
news, Daddy.
Exactly.
Dropped a certain passenger off at a corner.
And I was fired by the dispatcher that day.
And next thing you know,
I couldn't hear her. Couldn't hear her do what, Wayne? Ken Jones, they were just installing partitions between the front and back seat back then.
I got you. About
30 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And then prior to that, the cabs were like passenger cars.
Mm-hmm.
So I could, you know, this particular cab I was driving, one of the first to come out like that, it was almost like hermetically sealed. You couldn't hear what was going on in the back.
Yeah.
So this woman wanted to be dropped off, at least I thought, at the corner of 125th Street and Lenox Avenue.
All right.
So I stopped the car.
Yeah.
Door open. And I couldn't see behind me. I assumed she exited out the door. All right?
Bye.
Right up until she heard.
Boom. I drove down to pick up another fare at 125th Street in Apollo, in front of the Apollo Theater.
Right.
The same. As soon as I thought she was gone.
But she wasn't.
Apparently,
neither were her groceries, which were spread all the way across 125th Street.
Or even her lunch.
Tell the story.
Right. Yeah, man.
I mean, yeah.
A good time was had by all.
was my last day with that company, but I had a good time.
Yeah, and by the way, the Taxi and Limousine Commission put up a huge sign with his picture on. Yeah. Do not issue a license to this man.
Yeah.
And hence the license broadcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Those were the good old days. We used to scuffle for a living.
Yeah, now, you know.
Wiley did some other things.
Wait a minute. How far did you drag that woman?
A block and a half.
A block and a half. Was that a long block or a short block?
Well, you've been along 125th Street.
That's a long block.
Exactly.
Did she tip you?
Did she tip me?
She tipped him, all right. Pretty good.
She had me fired.
Now, look, I'll admit,
but
when I worked in the post office, I was the worst employee in the history of the post office. I worked security for a while. I worked for Dean Security. Yeah. I'm the only person I know who ever made $2.12 an hour. That's right. They actually parsed it down to the half cent.
Is that right?
That's right. And then, of course, you know, I would get my check and go out and party and do a little.
Yeah, and he's still doing it. I mean, the thing is, I've been trying to refrain from discussing about Mark's past because I know his daughter.
Well,
his
we don't have time to do it now.
We got 5 minutes
now. No. Your time is up.
You
see, quiet, thing news is, daddy. Quiet. You see, down, boy. Thank you.
Yeah. Play that black crap with me.
Right now, it's time to take a look at our Cliff Notes with none other than
Kent Jones.
Okay. For those of you who are just turning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Tom DeLay's communications director, Dan Allen, calls it quits. Privately, Allen admitted that defending Tom Lay was nothing to be proud of. He said he looked forward to his new job as a spokesman for a maker of asbestos baby carriers. Keep in mind, since he is Tom DeLay's communication director, there's an excellent chance Allen is lying about leaving. Hillary Clinton wins a 2008 presidential straw poll of South Carolina Democrats. The poll came years before the next presidential election, but an organizer said that when you're a Democrat in South Carolina, you're always getting polled. Ouch.
Ooh.
Backers hoisted homemade signs saying, Hillary, cleaning up Bush's mess. Hillary is the answer. And I slept with Bill Clinton, too. Deep Throat's family has signed deals for books and a movie, possibly starring Tom Hanks. Hanks wants the real Deep Throat, Mark Felt, to be in the film and play a role called Really Old Guy in the Background. Felt was heard to say, in the first movie, I was played by Hal Holbrook, this time Tom Hanks, but when I look in the mirror, I see Billy Dee Williams.
There you go. Right.
Today's phrase just dropping into conversation. Hillary wins the first contest for 2008. Get out your park as hell's starting to freeze over. Wake up, people. Get ready for Clinton 2, Electric Boogaloo.
All right. Thank you, Kent Jones. Thank you, Wayne Gilman.